Ladies and gentlemen.
System loading.
The Kelly Mano Show.
You're on a mission from God.
Is on the air. Is on the air.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Radio signal from another world.
In three.
What would you be waiting for?
Two.
Start the show.
One.
Good Tuesday morning. It is the Kelly Mano Radio Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. What are you doing here?
I live here.
I know, but I thought we hired a producer.
Well, he left after one episode. He couldn't handle you.
Did we seriously scare him off already?
I think so. I think he is in California on vacation with his family.
Okay. Is he coming back next week?
I don't know.
He's coming back.
I hope so.
We know producer Gary is coming back. He is just out of town. He took kind of an extended Labor Day vacation, but he'll be back next week. So in the meantime, my husband is stuck helping me again. And he picked a bad day to join me because I'm so crabby this morning. And my crabbiness is all aimed at Facebook because they did something I hate. They created a fan page for me. They created a The Kelly Mano Show fan page on Facebook without my permission, without my blessing. They did the same thing to my photography company, and I completely ignored it for a long time. And now, you know, this is happening again. So, Jimmy, why does Facebook do this to people?
To try to sucker you into actually making a business page and then try to sucker you into advertising and all that sort of stuff. They do that all the time. Anytime that there's a company that has people that like check in, or in your case, people who say they hired Kelly Mano to be a photographer, they have ways to kind of track.
So
all
they
that.
Have like little FBI robots on Facebook. So what happened was I uploaded the first, you know, funny video, the promo video for the radio show, which was, you know, me running around town with the banana, and it linked to YouTube and it got nearly 5,000 hits. And so I guess the little Facebook robots were like, oh my gosh, who is Kelly Mano and why is she sending all these people away from Facebook? And then they realized, oh, because she's a business. And what do you know? They made me a Facebook business page. I have never had a business page for a couple reasons. Number one, the reach is terrible. Number two, they charge you. For those who don't know, if you run a Facebook business page, if you, you know, want to post about something, it will reach a certain number of people, but then they will pop up and then it says what? Like, if you want to reach more people, you pay this amount of money. Is that correct?
Yeah, it gives you the option to reach more of your fans or friends of your fans.
Does Zuckerberg not have enough money?
Apparently not.
Really? Because I am a small business, okay? I am doing this out of my house. I jumped out of the nest. I was the baby bird. I'm spreading my wings. I'm trying to fly. I don't want a Facebook fit business page. Just for very specific reasons. A lot of people have always asked me why I don't have a Facebook photography page. And that is because I've always felt personally that I am my brand. It's called Kelly Mano Photography. It's called The Kelly Mano Show. There's nothing that I would not put on my regular Facebook page that I wouldn't want my photography clients to see or the radio folks to see. So what do? We just ignore this fan page?
I mean, you can ignore it for now, but the fact of the matter is you're going to run out of space for new friends eventually. I think the cap is at 5,000. So unless you want to, you know.
Well, and I get that. So when I hit 5,000, I understand that I will. Isn't Facebook pretty close to jumping the shark?
I mean, I've always thought that, but it continues to reinvent itself.
It's like a cockroach. Like and everybody hates it and loves it at the same time. I think for now, the best thing that we can do is just drive people to my website, which is kellymano.com. Now, if other people promote my show, so some of the listeners, if they're like, hey, listen to the Kelly Mano Show, they won't be bothered, right?
They won't be bothered, but those types of posts don't get a lot of traction.
But because mine get a lot of traction is why they forced me into a page.
Yeah, again, it's you simply have something that a lot of people are talking about, so yes. They create this page for you.
All right, so that's why I'm crabby. That's why I'm having a bad morning, but that's okay. I'm not having as bad of a morning as this man. Story in the news this week, a Mexican man says a 19-inch penis is destroying his life.
Destroying his wife?
His life. He doesn't have a wife, and that's part of the reason that he's complaining. 52-year-old Mexican man says he has the world's largest penis, and it's making his life miserable. Roberto Cabrera told a Mexican newspaper that he would like to be considered disabled because his member leaves him unable to work, forcing him to live on assistance and scavenge for food. The problem is, I guess he needed to prove this issue.
Yeah.
So he made a video.
Awesome.
And I have the video.
Oh, lovely.
Now, have you seen this video?
I have not seen the video.
Okay. I'm going to play this video for you live because it is probably one of the most amazing... it's like a car accident. You can't turn away. It's one of the most amazing things you've ever seen. So I am going to play the video for my husband now, which none of you on radio can see. But of course, I'm going to post it later today on kellymano.com. So here we go. So... as you can...
What the...
Okay, so for people at home... Okay, so what he's doing is...
That's not real.
That is real, because keep watching. So what they have now, it's censored. So for those of you who want to watch it, he's wearing like a nylon sling or sock over the member. So you can't really see that.
Can we not use the word member? That is the lamest word.
We'll call it his twig, okay? And then they've got a black box over the berries, okay? So you can't really... Okay, now he's...
That's not even...
Now he's dangling it. Hang on. He's going to pull down his pants in a minute and show you. I'm sorry, but that gentleman needs to qualify for disability.
Yeah, no, I absolutely... What is he doing with it there? How would you describe
Listen
that?
Listen to the music in the background.
That is like
he's listening to like Kenny Chesney. Or
like the Mexican version of Kenny Chesney.
He's going to start hitting himself in the head with it. Wait.
He is flogging himself in the face with like a huge loaf of French bread is what it looks like. That's not even cool.
But, wow. I mean, he's got a point. I mean, the poor guy.
Yeah, it's got a point. Yeah. I saw the point.
So I thought the video was amazing. If you want to check it out.
Don't put that on your website.
I'm not going to put the video on my website. I will put a link to the video so that it is up to people if they'd like to click on it or not. Okay. Because his twig is covered. I mean, it's covered with
a flesh-colored nylon
sock.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you don't see it. And the berries are covered by a black box.
Okay, thank
So
goodness.
Really, you don't see anything. It's not like I'm putting porn on the website. I would not. I've got more class than that.
That was truly disgusting.
I know. That was awesome. And so, yeah, go to kellymano.com later today. Oh, speaking of which, we have an email address now because my Facebook has been flooded. Lots of people wanting to either be on the show or they've got a sales request. And my new email is heykelly@kellymano.com. Is that right?
Hey, Kelly. Right? Yeah.
Heykelly@kellymano.com. That is the quickest and easiest way to get a hold of me if you need something with the show. So, Jimmy, you know who is coming on the show here in a minute.
That's spooky. It's like, is that from Thriller?
No. Michael Jackson would have made us pay too much to play Thriller. We have a mortician coming on the show. Ooh. And she's coming to the house.
That's awesome.
Do you think, like, I picture her coming in like a black cape.
Well, you keep saying she and her. Like, I never consider morticians to be a female. You always think of like an old, crusty sort of man.
No, this is a girl. Do you think, we're letting these people in our house. What if, like, the ghosties follow her?
Is she going to bring embalming fluid with her?
I hope not. Is that the same stuff that we used to dissect frogs with? Formaldehyde?
Formaldehyde. No, I think it's, yeah, I don't know. We'll have to ask her. There's a question.
Oh, my gosh.
Now, I know on your Facebook page earlier this week, you mentioned that she's coming in, and a ton of people gave you a bunch of great questions to ask her.
Yes, we have so many questions. It's probably going to be a really, really big segment because... I mean, there's just endless amounts of questions. Endless, endless, endless. You know what else is endless is my dodging of the police lately. Did you know that my plates are expired?
Do you know that my plates are expired by a year and a half?
Are you kidding me? Oh, yeah, but yours is a mess. Mine, I'm the responsible one in the marriage, so I'm usually on top of this kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it just slipped my mind with, you know, between starting the radio show and the kids starting school, my little sticker's expired, so I'm playing Dodge the Cop games. So every time, like, a police officer gets behind me, I have to make, like, a random left turn.
Oh, trust me. I know that drill way too. I was going to work on Friday, and there was a guy, a cop, who was tailing me for a good mile, and I got on a highway that I did not have to get on just to make sure he wasn't going to follow me.
Oh, that sucks. And mine aren't that expired. The problem is that I need to actually change my plates, because I have personalized plates on my car that have our last name whenever we first had babies, and they were so little and cute, and I just thought it was the cutest thing ever to get Man 05, you know, like we're the Man 05, you know. And now the kids are older and like total fart knockers, and it's not as cute anymore. And, you know, having your name on your plates is a huge hindrance.
Oh, tell me about it. Having my last name on your car has been a huge hindrance for me personally.
Yeah.
Because you drive around basically some sort of joke woman clown car. All right.
It's a minivan.
For those of you out there who aren't aware, my wife drives a white minivan that has pink fuzzy dice in the mirror. It has
Why don't you just tell all my stalkers how to find me?
Purple fuzzy. Well, you already blew it with the Man 05. Oh. The purple fuzzy steering wheel covers. She's got a pink sparkly bow on the back window.
Yes.
And then there's my name. So every time I need to drive this car, because I you know, play music, I have to pack it up with equipment.
Yeah.
And everyone sees me out there driving this. Now, I will say this. I was able to talk you out of getting the eyelashes over the headlights.
That's only because kids break them off. And, it's just a waste of money. But I need to get new plates, and I don't know what to get on them, because I'm a dork, and I love dorky personalized plates. And so, do you have any suggestions?
Well, up until a couple of minutes ago, 19-incher might fit, but I wouldn't do that. Don't do that.
If anybody has any suggestions for what I should get on my new license plate, it can't say Mano, because when it says Mano, a couple of things cannot happen. I can no longer pick my nose when I drive. I cannot flip people off. And the bad thing is I can't park bad. Like if I do a crappy parking job, and especially if I'm somewhere where people know me, like the kids' school, I can't park like an a-hole. I got to get out and park right, because everybody knows it's me.
You know what? You say a-hole so much.
It's my favorite word.
That would be perfect.
I'm not getting a-hole on my license plates.
I would happily drive it.
I used it. My very first license plates ever said Girl Power, and those are my favorite. I would love to go back to those. I think I'm just going to get I'm late on my plates.
Yes.
I think that then maybe people would just get out of my way, because we are late. The Manos are late all the time, and it makes me crazy because I'm a type A personality. I have never in my life been late until I married you and started having children.
The children do it more than I do.
Well, I would say it's pretty equal. And so I don't like being late, but everybody says that we operate on Mano time. And I want people to know that it's not ever in my control, because I'm one of those people that if I'm running late, it makes me almost sick to my stomach. I get anxiety. Mm-hmm. But I think if I get I'm late on my plates, that people will get out of my way.
Well, they'll certainly say, you know, they won't be able to say that you didn't at least warn them that you're running late. Now, the good thing about I'm late is that you have some options, because you could do I am space L-A-T-E. You could do L and the number 8.
Yeah.
So maybe one of those would be available.
Well, I did. I sat down and I thought about the most ridiculous reasons that I've ever been late. Now, these are real reasons. You know, a lot of times it's, you know, I can't find my keys or I can't find my phone.
That's every day. We need to let everyone know that no less than 2 or 3 times a day, you will say, Jimmy, call my phone, because you have lost your phone.
And the best place I've ever found my keys is in the fridge. Mm-hmm. And I found my keys in the fridge at least twice, for sure. I don't know if other people do that. I don't know why my keys end up in the fridge. But okay, so I've got for you the top 5 reasons that Kelly Mano has ever been late. Number 1, I don't think many people can use this as an excuse, but I couldn't find the pig. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Yeah, turn it up a little bit. I couldn't find the pig.
There it is.
Going to dinner with some friends, and the pig was new, and he was little, and he didn't know his name, and he had hid under a bunch of blankets, and couldn't find the pig, so I was late. Number 2, Lucy sneezed in Rocky's ear, and he was so pissed off that he locked himself in his room, and I couldn't get him out.
True.
Now, most of the kids have the doorknobs with the slit, and I can just take a butter knife and turn it, but he has one of those doorknobs with the little bitty hole. And apparently she sneaks directly in his ear, and he was so bent out of shape about it, I could not get him out of the room. Reason number 3, I think other people have heard this one before. We were late to school one morning because Rocky wrote poop on Lucy's face in a Sharpie while she was sleeping. Do you remember that morning?
I do remember that, but in fairness, again, all right, you started the whole using a Sharpie and writing on people's faces thing.
I did?
Yeah, you were, when Rocky was asleep, you were giving him mustaches.
That was, oh, that's right, okay.
All
right,
yeah.
But that wasn't on a school night. Okay, okay, okay. Number four, got halfway to Target and realized one of my kids did not have any pants on. Can you guess which kid that was?
Oh, boy. Either Lucy or Libby.
It's Lucy. Yeah, I mean, okay. She's nearly a nudist.
Yeah.
And the best time that I've ever been almost late for something was I was in a rush.
I already know what you're...
This was a couple years ago. And I was hurrying so much, trying to get everything done, that I opened the bathroom door into my own forehead so hard that I nearly knocked myself out. It took me down to all fours in the hallway, and I was literally seeing stars and birds. What did you think I was going to say?
I thought you were going to say, the time that you may have accidentally left a small child in the pumpkin seat in our house.
First of all, we did that together.
Yes.
We have got three kids, and we've only ever left one in the house.
True.
And it was Libby Lou, and I thought we weren't going to tell her that.
We didn't make it very far. What did we just made it like one or two streets away.
We made it a couple streets over. The bad part was that when we did leave the kid at home alone, that I was on the phone with my mom. You know, and grandmas always judge parents. Mm-hmm. And I spun around, and there was this empty hole where the baby was supposed to be. And I said, oh my God, where's the baby? And so then, of course, my mom hears that, and she's like, what baby? What did you do? And it was like minutes of sheer chaos. But we came back to the house, and there was sweet Libby Lou smiling in her pumpkin seat right where we left her. Mm-hmm. In the kitchen. I'm going to give a shout out to Kevin Watts and the service unit at the Union Pacific Railroad. The guys listen to the Kelly Mano Show. They love it. He came up to me. He's like, dude, my whole work like was listening to you the other day. And I love it. If you love the show, share the show. That's the only way people are going to learn about it. KellyMano.com. Come up to me if you listen to the show. Say hi. And let me know your favorite song. I'll give you a shout out. All right. We're going to be back. It's the Kelly Mano Radio Show.
The Kelly Mano Show. She finally found a job
that doesn't require a bra. The Kelly Mano Show is on the air.
Past. I've been covering up my past. Loopholes and lies just in disguise. I found my legs can carry me.
It is the Kelly Mano Radio Show, and I actually am wearing a bra right now because we have boys in the studio. Say hi, boys.
Hi, boys.
Yeah, we've got Clockwork in the studio, and we've got some fun stuff to go over. But first, I got to pay a couple bills. I want to talk about Rachel Witt at Remax. The Manos are moving. We are getting the hell out of Dodge. We're not making it a secret. And we met Rachel, I guess, over the summer at an open house. We instantly liked her. We loved her personality. And she works with the Manos, which means she has the patience of a saint. Rachel is all about the service, not the sale, and she will provide you with knowledge from beginning to end. And you know what? I think that Rachel Witt is missing, she's missing a vital tagline she could be using, because if my last name was Witt, my tagline would be, I'm Rachel Witt and I'm the... don't you think she's missing that? I'm Rachel Witt and I'm the... And that's why you should use me. If you are selling a home with her, she doesn't just do photos. She does these amazing walkthrough videos that you have to see. Go to her website. It is homesalesinstcharles.com. And you can see one of those videos. Or you can give her a call today. The number is 636-720-3836. Jordan, what is that number again?
636-720-3836.
Call the Rachel Witt team today, whether you're buying a home, selling a home. Please tell her that you heard about her on the Kelly Mano Radio Show so I can buy some more pretty shoes. So there you go. Thank you, Rachel Witt. That's and right, we right. have Clockwork in studio.
Hey.
Yeah, I didn't really promote that I was having you guys on because I didn't want like a bunch of teenagers screaming in my front lawn. So
right. No, that's good.
I had to keep you guys like on the down low because you're getting so famous. I can't even handle it.
Actually, use the back entrance to your house.
Yep.
That
yep.
They wouldn't see us.
Okay, that sounded very perverted. So go ahead and introduce yourselves. First of all, Jimmy, you have to go away.
No!
Because you know this makes him nervous because... Ooh. I happen to be married to your manager.
Yes. Yeah.
And he has been grooming you guys for interviews for years.
Let's ruin it.
I know,
he's
right?
A dick.
Hey. You can't say dick on the radio.
Oh, God. All right, Jimmy, you have to go. As long as the show is recording and the levels are okay. So I'm not going to ask you the same stuff that everybody asks you. I mean, real quick, tell everybody your stupid names.
Everyone always asks that.
Yeah. What, just for the sake of people.
My stupid name
is.
Hi. Yeah. Is Jordan, and it's not that stupid.
Yeah.
They're stupid. They have to share the same name.
Yeah.
I'm Logan, but I was born first.
Okay, listen.
So I'm the OG.
So since your parents could not get their shit together and name you different stuff, I'm going to call you Logan Sloan, and I'm just going to call you Moeller. Okay. And that is how we will know.
Then why wouldn't I just be Logan? Why
just are be Sloan quiet. Because I'm. Because it's called the Kelly Mano Radio Show. I make the rules. So, yes, Jimmy is very nervous. We've kicked him out of the room. Now, you guys have been a band for a long, long time.
Yes.
And you guys are very humble, but you're kind of the shit right now.
No.
I mean, I know that you guys like... People are always asking me, like, what's going on with Clockwork? And I'm like... I don't even know where to start because you guys have so many things going on. Recently, you just toured the East Coast, right?
We did.
Tell us about that.
That was, I'm sad I'm home.
Yeah, you want to go back to New York?
It's not even that I want to go back to New York. It's that I never want to come home.
Well, we just didn't want to pay to get out. $50 in our van.
Yeah, so you guys got a tour van. You have been, you know, touring all over the country the last couple of years. You actually haven't been home for very many shows.
No.
Now, at your, I guess it was either your New York or your New Jersey show, all of a sudden, my husband is pacing in the other room and he's like, what do you mean we ran out of merch? Well, what are we going to do? How do we get a ship? And then he shows me this picture, and it's this huge line of people. And I'm like, what is that? He's like, that's the line of people to buy Clockwork merchandise after their
awesome.
Show. And so what happened? Why did they fall in? I mean, are you guys good or something?
We are kind of good.
Yeah?
Yeah, we do that.
Did you run out of merch?
We actually did. At one point, the guy that was with us, our buddy Tom, he looked at me while we were still on stage, and he was like, dude, we're out of CDs and t-shirts, and I'm not exactly sure what you want me to do, but people are still handing me their money, and I don't know how to even refund. I don't even know how much we've sold at this point.
And
it's
you guys
gone.
Were in New Jersey?
This is actually Bethlehem,
Pennsylvania.
It was right before we went to New Jersey because we had to ship everything to New York.
And, like, the crowd just fell in love with you guys.
Yeah.
Yep.
There was, we played two different sets that day, and a lot of people really, really liked it, I think.
That's amazing.
At least they bought it, so yeah. I think they liked it.
You guys made, like, a crap ton of money that night.
It was crazy.
Speaking of a crap ton of money, can we talk about the show you guys just booked? Hey, Jimmy!
The one we just booked?
Can we talk about that, the new show they just booked?
Nope.
Opening for that one guy?
What?
What if I don't say his name?
No.
What if I just say that they're opening for a guy who rhymes with Schmandy Schmammer?
You can't say that.
Okay, what if I just play a song?
No,
why not?
You didn't pay the performing rights organization.
I'm not saying that they're opening for him. I'm just playing the song because I like it.
Well, don't play that song.
Well, what if...
We're totally maybe doing that.
You can't do that.
Can't do that.
We just can't talk about it yet?
Until the ink is dry, we don't talk about nothing.
Can I talk about the Coca-Cola deal?
Shut your mouth!
Okay, somebody get him out of here. That's the problem is that, see, I know all of this cool stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm not supposed to talk about it. okay, so we finished this. Now, you guys are actually here to promote what you're playing this weekend, which is Lou Fest.
Playing Lou Fest.
You guys are, that's amazing. Like,
it's
only really,
really
awesome bands get to play Lou Fest. Who are you guys excited to see at Lou Fest?
Ludacris.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, so what happens... If you see Ludacris backstage and he goes for like a really complicated like black man handshake,
better not mess it up.
Like you seriously, you better Google black man handshake.
I have to do that.
Because they get complicated.
Oh, no.
Just, there might be a conspiracy. He might have like a certain one that he always does. So
I think that's a conspiracy.
Maybe not. I don't know.
You have to get a selfie with Ludacris.
Oh, I'm gonna have to do that. I also really want to play hacky sack with him. Like,
does he play hacky sack?
I don't know. I play hacky sack.
But you're white. I don't think black people play hacky sack.
I've seen like I think one.
No, people who look like Moeller. People who look like Logan Moeller play hacky sack.
Yeah,
people who look like Ludacris do not. Who do you guys want to see? Are you excited to see Luda too?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited to see Hozier too.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, you know, if you guys run into Ludacris, I mean, you guys have some pretty mad rapping skills.
We do.
Oh man, they're not up there to par with Luda per se.
Yeah, would it embarrass you guys if I played this?
No.
I am so proud of this. I can't even tell
so
you.
So this is what? A hidden track on which album?
Not Meant for the Dark.
So those who have Not Meant for the Dark, if they listen long enough, they hear this. I can't voice your opinion for you because I'm knitting my sweater. I'm so much better than all of your children. I'm using my phone because I can't find an ink pen. I put the wick in Baka on the weekends. I will be sleeping in while you were creeping. I just want to get to the chorus. No need to shut up. Get it all figured out. We'll do this dripping out your mouth. I'll pass the ball to my brother. What to your mother? Oh my God, that is amazing. That is amazing. That is amazing. Okay, so you guys are playing Lou Fest this weekend. I kind of hijacked your Facebook for a little bit.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
And thanks for asking, by the way.
Listen, well, I mean, when you're sleeping with the manager, you get the passwords to stuff like that.
Oh, that's what we need to do.
Who can sleep with all that sex going on?
Go away!
Wow. There are children here.
You are not supposed to be here. Back to the kind of like you guys being humble thing, you know. I've been with you guys at places, like we go to get lunch, like at Cane's, and like the girls who are serving you are like, hee, like in the back. I think one girl at Subway just like shoved you your food and gave it to you for free because she was so nervous that
you guys.
I've gotten emails from people that were like, hey, I saw one of the Clockwork Boys getting ice cream and I didn't know what to say to him.
So can you like tell them that I like totally freaked out?
No, yeah. So if you guys live here in the St. Louis, Missouri area in the St. Charles County, if people see you out and they're fans of the band, what?
Feel free to give us money. I don't know.
Do you want them to come up and say hi? Are you like too cool for that now? What should your fans do when they see you out in public?
I mean, if they appreciate what we do, it's really cool to know that people appreciate what we do. So say hi. Tell us like, I really like that one song you guys did at that one time.
Maybe it would be really cool if girls in particular started touching my butt, because my butt's never been touched. So
I'm seriously not that.
Full disclosure.
Speaking of your butts, one of the questions, because all of the questions that were asked did not make it on Facebook. Some people started private messaging me, and I know this is kind of like the lame, like go-to fun question, but one thing the girls wanted to know from all three boys is boxers or briefs. So Jordan?
Briefs.
Like the white ones?
No. They come in many colors.
Do you borrow them from your dad? No. Okay, Logan Sloan.
I've always been kind of confused about which one, like what the parameters are for each thing.
The boxers are the really loose fitting ones.
Yeah, but then it's like in the middle.
Hey, I'm wearing
like
some.
In the middle thing.
Look,
okay.
These are boxers.
Those are shorts.
Okay, those are boxers. Okay.
Is it fair to say that I wear both? I'm primarily brief.
Okay, now, Logan Moeller, I have seen you in your underwear probably as many times as I've seen my husband. Uh-huh. And what he wears is boxer briefs. So that's probably what you're talking about.
I'm glad you could answer that for me, because I was going to say, I don't talk about my intimates.
Are you kidding? You are in your underwear more than anybody I know.
Only talk about my Publix.
That's true.
Only talk about my Publix.
Oh.
Only about my
like
Publix.
The store?
All right, so one thing that people wanted to know was they wanted to talk to Jordan.
Oh, gosh.
Handsome, deep, thoughtful Jordan, who writes these amazing lyrics.
I'm going to say something so stupid.
No, you're not. So a lot of people wanted to know your lyrics, how much of your personal life leaks into those lyrics, and how much of it is, shit, I just need something that rhymes here.
I think that I would be definitely fibbing if I said that every now and then I didn't need to just find a way to rhyme a word.
Right.
But I always find a way to make it at least make sense in the song.
Yeah.
I'd say that about 95% of what I write comes from what is happening personally in my life. Because I don't know how to write about things that aren't happening in my
life. And you know that my husband and I carefully monitor every girlfriend you have, every breakup, if your dad's like, Jordan got in a fight with his girlfriend, we're like, go tell him to write a song.
Yes.
So
this is going to be awesome. I know he's pissed.
Yes.
Like, this is perfect.
So from you know, you guys are in your, you know, late teens, early 20s. So there's lots of makeup and breakups going on.
What?
I remember specifically a couple years ago, Jordan, handsome Jordan.
Yeah.
This girl like dumped you, right?
Yeah.
And you wrote like a pretty cool song kind of about it. Or about kind of what you went through. But then you met this super hotter girl.
Yeah, the super hotter girl.
Who's like a supermodel.
Oh, yeah.
And then out of that was born like really your first love song.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Can we tell people what the song is or will that embarrass you?
No, because
you
fine.
Wouldn't really think that it was a love song, but it's one of my favorite songs on the album.
Go for it. Which one? Which? Because we haven't even talked about this. Which one do you
Oh,
think
I
it
know,
is?
Jordan.
Okay.
It's We Stood Tall.
Yeah.
Yeah. So We Stood Tall is a love song.
Mm-hmm.
And if you guys...
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys not
You're
even know
that? You're in the
that?
Band.
I paid no attention to lyrics.
Moeller, I even sit sing. Up.
Oh
Are
my
you sleeping?
I'm sorry. I didn't know.
My gosh. I know that Jordan is getting intimate over here with his lyrics, but when girls... listen to bands, they will dissect every lyric and they want to know what it's about. And I would have never guessed that We Stood Tall was a love song, but it is.
Yep.
So those of you who have the album can now know that. There's your little secret.
I don't even have the album, actually.
Oh my,
oh my
gosh.
God. Well, you also don't write.
Yeah,
well, it's
true.
On Spotify, though.
It's not
Spotify.
It's not that he doesn't,
so
Kelly.
It.
Yeah. Kelly, it's that he can't.
He can't write. Do they not teach you that in St. Charles education system? Oh my gosh. Well, you know, and actually, you know, I don't want to say that we actually like when the girlfriends cause fights because, you know, the girlfriends really behoove me because they're like built-in babysitters.
Yeah.
I know that you guys had a gig not too long ago and like Jimmy had to go, but I couldn't. And I'm always deathly afraid that Jimmy's going to lose one of our kids. And I think I texted him like 43 times, where's Libby Lou? Where's Libby Lou? And then he finally texted me back and he said, she's sitting on Abby's lap. I'm like, oh, thank God. So, so the girlfriend, the girlfriends are fine by me because they're built-in babysitters.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys are on tour a lot.
Yeah.
You have a tour van.
Yes.
You spend probably more time with each other than anybody would want to.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm going
I've got a really good story.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Really? Like before I go into, okay, you go.
What's the story?
All right, so it was about tour.
Yeah.
So... as you guys can probably guess, we don't make enough money for everyone to get their own hotel room.
Oh my God.
Well, listen.
If anybody is telling the story, it is me. It is me that is telling the story.
Okay, listen. If it's about Moeller, I will let Moeller tell the story.
No, it's about Moeller, but Moeller's not going to do it justice because he's going to try to cover up right now.
No.
Hey, should we tell two versions of the story?
I want to go first. I started this.
Okay, you know what? I'm turning Logan Moeller's mic off. Okay,
yes.
Jordan's
okay.
first. Okay,
right.
You tell this story in 45 seconds or less, and then he'll get to go.
45 seconds or less. That should be a game.
Go.
Okay, so Logan Moeller, for some reason, after sleeping with Thomas for the last couple of days on this trip, he finally decides that he's going to sleep with other Logan.
Yeah.
So he's sleeping with other Logan, and at one point in the night, other Logan, in his sleep, lifts up the blankets and does this, like, in his sleep gesture as if to say, come cuddle with me.
Come hither.
Yeah. And Logan Moeller, kind of waking up in this little bit of a tussle that happened under the sheets, all of a sudden is like, oh, that's, like, the go-ahead. I should cuddle this person. And he goes in for the full teddy bear wraparound. Goes
like
full,
a spoon?
Full jetpack.
Wait, were you like front to front or like
behind
front
him.
To back?
Yeah, front.
Like a spoon. You were in a spooning position. Okay.
And Logan Sloan, just in this moment, kind of like confusingly wakes up. He's like, what? Dude. And he like looks at him. He's like, I'm sleeping with Jordan tomorrow. There's no way.
Okay, hang on. Now I'm going to turn down Jordan. Oh, no, that's mine. Okay, Logan Moeller.
Okay, so...
tell me what happened.
If we're going to tell this how it really happened,
yeah.
That's actually about 99% correct.
Okay.
Except I'm just going to give you a few background notes.
Full jetpack.
Okay, so for about the first month before tour, I slept with my significant other every right. single night. So right. I was used to open cuddles, you know. Yeah. It wasn't a weird thing. And then so this night this happens, I woke up halfway in my sleep like trying to wrap my arms around Logan's waist. And the best part, what Jordan didn't explain to me was the amount of anger that came out in Logan's statement when he said, "I'm sleeping with Jordan tomorrow."
Did you say
it was so much sassier than that?
I was tired, confused. Logan just tried to like cuddle me in my sleep, and I was like, "No, I'm not. I'm gonna sleep with Jordan tomorrow."
He rolls over and he looks at me in the eyes and he goes, "I'm sleeping with Jordan tomorrow."
Complete 100% disapproval. All in about 5 seconds.
Sorry, you're laughing so hard.
It's one of my favorite. That was one of my favorite parts of the trip, and I didn't even experience it.
Yeah,
Tom was totally okay with me spooning him. That we never had another right. hiccup.
So I'm going to ask you guys a couple questions about being on tour, and you tell me. Just shout out who you think fits this description. Okay. So when you guys are on tour, which member of the band? Now remember, if it's going to be Logan Moeller, just yell Moeller. Okay. If it's Logan Sloan, just yell Logan.
I thought it was Logan Sloan.
On tour, who is the messiest?
Slogan.
Slogan. Yeah.
So that's.
She said Logan.
Okay. Logan Sloan.
We can do. So when you're on tour, okay, who's on their phone the most?
Slogan.
Yeah.
Is anyone else going to play this game and shout out, or are you just going to nod your heads? Because we are on the radio show, in case you didn't know.
Wait, you can't pick that up?
Who is the worst driver?
Logan Sloan.
My God. Who snores the most?
Ooh. None of us snore.
I think probably Jordan snores the most, though.
I think Jordan
makes
one.
The most dad noises.
I do make dad noises.
Like scratching your belly.
I'm running in here.
Wait a minute.
I nominate myself for snoring the most when I'm with you guys.
Yeah.
I was just going
to
add
Jim came with us to Texas, and I don't think I slept more than like 30 minutes at a time.
No. You have to actually like, you have to overdose on Benadryl. So I can figure out how to sleep.
I live with him. It is horrid. If you guys were stranded on a desert island, who would be the first one to call their mom crying?
Slogan?
I feel like it'd be Jordan, honestly.
Yeah,
I think it'd
maybe.
Be Jordan.
Okay.
I thought you were going to say who would survive, and it would definitely be Tom.
I think I would already be naked in the woods.
You're like
with mud painted on my face.
You would like be one with nature within like 24 hours.
The difference isn't that I would call my mom. I would be the one trying to figure out how to get off the island while the other two have accepted their fates.
All right, well, I'll tell you.
Mom might be that answer. Don't rule that out.
So you guys, I'm going to play out with a little bit of All Right right now.
All right.
And I want to thank Marty Link from Y98 who broke this song on the radio.
Yeah.
It's
thank
been
you, Marty.
Playing like crazy. And do you want to know why Marty Link broke this song?
Why?
Because he's a smart man. And he had you guys in. He said, "I believe in you guys. I'm talented. I'm going to put this on the radio." The song's been huge ever since. Z107, now 96. Where you at? What's good?
What's good?
Why aren't you playing Clockwork?
Hey.
Because we are some loyal people, man. We are some loyal people.
Yep.
So if these other, you know, CHR stations, which is a fancy term for pop stations, if they want to be thanked in our Grammy acceptance speech, they better start playing your crap.
And we definitely won't break any kneecaps.
You want what?
We definitely won't break any kneecaps.
Right.
In the process. That's
I mean, I'm just saying, Marty Link is ahead of the trend, so he's the first one we're going to thank in the Grammy acceptance speech. If any of these other stations want to jump on board, we're ready. Now, whenever we come back, you guys are going to play live.
Yes.
What might be, possibly.
Possibly.
Maybe your next single.
Yes.
Marty Link, I hope you're listening, because this one is going to be huge. The thing is, you guys haven't even recorded it yet.
Nope.
Okay? So the only way to hear this song is either through my show or to come hear the boys play live. And the song is called...
Encourage.
The song is called Shake My Wiener.
Shake my wiener.
This song.
Wait, which song are we doing?
The song is called "Shake Me Off."
No,
it's called "Shake Me Up."
Yes.
All right, the song is called "Shake Me Up." Sorry, I'm the manager and I have to jump in here now.
I can't.
My
do
wife
it.
Constantly refers to this song accidentally. She's not even trying to be dirty as "Shake Me Off," but every time she says it. I'm like, that sounds so dirty when you say that.
Oh my God! Well, listen, we're gonna be back live and. Jordan's gonna play Shake My Wiener.
The Kelly Mano Show.
It is the Kelly Mano Show, and we do not need any music bed because the Clockwork Boys are here. So you guys are gonna play a song for me.
We are.
And the first thing I want to say is that I'm gonna get a lot of emails from all these other bands that want to come and be on the show. The answer is no.
Tell them frig off when you're here first.
Because you guys are special. For one, you know, because I have a personal connection for you. For two, my house is not set up for musicians. Moeller, why are you holding my wooden spoon?
Hey, I forgot drumsticks.
So the song you guys are going to...
I forgot the drum.
I didn't do my job as a drummer.
So you pretty much forgot everything.
Maybe.
The song you guys are going to play is called Shake Me Up. I requested it. It is my new favorite song. It's not been recorded yet. The only time that you guys can hear this song is right here on the show, or if you come see the boys live. And we're going to video. Is somebody videoing this?
Yes.
Okay. So if you go to kellymano.com later today, you can see this very stripped down version of Shake Me Up, since we're not in a real music studio. And I love this song because it's one of those songs. I mean, the first time I heard it, I felt like I'd already heard it 20 times. It's fun. You can dance to it. You can sing along. So, yeah, is it time for me to turn it over to the boys?
Do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, here is Clockwork with Shake Me Up.
When she moves like that, she knows that I got it bad. She could just tear me apart. You shake me up. Just what you do. When she moves like that, she knows that I got it bad. She could just tear me apart. You shake me up. The heart that sold me, healer just can't be wrong. Way that she tear me on, you shake me up. Take my hand, what's left for the guessing coming to you. I ain't messing around. Messing around. Come now, baby, don't you know I'm going crazy? Oh, what else can I do? You got me swearing. How am I to be preparing? Peace be land, things I never know. When she moves like that, she knows that I got. With a heart that's strong, this feeling just can't be wrong. Wait till you turn me on, you shake me up. You got me down on my knees. Fever hit like you can't believe. Singing, baby, please say that you love me. Say that you love me. When she moves like that, she knows that I got it bad. She could just tear me apart. You shake me up with a heart that's strong. Got me aching, all this love, heart's been taken in.
Ah, I love you guys.
I love you.
You better love me. I do. I really love you guys. Just when I think that you've written the best song you can write, then you come out with something like this. And
that's good.
You guys have to be so excited to record this.
I'm really excited to record a lot of stuff.
You know what? Actually, you've got another song that I, you know, we don't have time to play right now, but will you guys play it for me and I'll post it on my website later today, because I've got a mortician coming in here in a few minutes and you guys need to get out of here before the ghosties.
Can I hang out to ask creepy questions?
Yes, you can hang out and ask creepy questions. Now, boys, I'm sure you have a website or something if little girls want to go log on and see how pretty you are.
Or so little girls.
Or something.
How about girls over the age of 18 want to come on and see how pretty you are? What is your website?
Our website is clockworkmusic.net.
Yeah,
and awesome. You can see all of our things there.
All of it, really? Like all of your things?
Not all of our things.
Well, we did say girls over 18, so and what's the easiest way to get a hold of your music? Now, I obviously own your CDs, but I also have a playlist on Spotify. So are all your albums on Spotify?
All of our albums are on Spotify. You can listen to us there. You can listen to us just looking us up through iTunes. We've got music videos out on YouTube, and come to a show, buy a CD.
Yeah, and you guys just scared the hell out of my animals.
Oh, yeah.
We've never had a full band play in our living room before.
They're protesting.
Yeah, I know, right? So Clockwork, we love you guys. You're going to be playing at Lou Fest this weekend. And you know what we need to plan? I've been telling Jimmy for a long time. You guys have been on the road a lot. We need to plan a big welcome home, like a St. Charles show, like a free show.
Ooh, that'd be really fun.
Right? To thank everybody who's supported you guys all these years.
Yeah.
So it's clockworkmusic.net. All right, or go to kellymano.com later today and check out their song because we just recorded it. So thank you very much, boys. We will be back next with the Kelly Mano Radio Show.
Thanks, Kel.
The Kelly Mano Show. The princess of the 90s is now the queen of the minivan carpool. It's the Kelly Mano Show.
It is the Kelly Mano Radio Show. We are back, and we are about ready to interview our mortician. I'm so excited to have her here. But first, we have a little bit of business to get to. I want to thank JM Motors in Granite City, Illinois, for sponsoring the show. I had a chance to go visit JM Motors just a couple days ago and hang out with Heather, one of the owners. The first thing I noticed about JM Motors is their parking lot is just crammed with cars. They specialize in pre-owned cars, but you would think that they were a big new car lot. They could hardly fit all the cars in one spot. But what you won't get at JM Motorsports that you get at the big dealerships is the salesman chasing you down before you even have one foot out of the car. There's nothing more annoying than that. They have two salesmen who have been on staff there for 10 years. And when we're talking about time, JM Motors has been in business in Granite City, Illinois for 45 years. Jerry opened it 45 years ago. No one can match his service that he gives his buyers. He goes above and beyond for everyone. His repeat customers speak for themselves. As we speak, I think I have Jerry looking for a new pink car for me. I
told him. No, don't do it, Jerry.
Yeah, if you have good credit, perfect. They work with several local credit unions to get you financed. But if you've fallen on hard times, if you have bad credit, no credit, they are a buy here, pay here lot, and they can finance you themselves. If you are in the market for a new car, swing by JM Motors in Granite City, Illinois. They're located at 2310 Namioke Road, just 10 minutes from downtown St. Louis. Their Facebook page always has the most current inventory. I'm going to link to them at kellymano.com. So go to kellymano.com later today, click on the JM Motors logo, and it will take you straight to their Facebook page where you can check out their inventory. Thank you, JM Motors in Granite City, Illinois. Oh, Kelly. Should we tell people now that our mortician's name is Kelly? Is that going to confuse everybody?
Oh, I was already confused.
First of all, Logan Mueller, what are you still doing here?
I don't know. I just like to ask creepy questions.
You like creepy stuff, and you found out I was going to have a mortician in. First of all, turn off the scary music.
All right.
Because, Kelly, you are adorable. Hi, Kelly.
Hi.
Thank you so much for coming on the show.
You're welcome.
I was, you know, we joked earlier that we thought maybe the Grim Reaper was going to come walking in with, like, a cape. But you are, like, the cutest little blonde I've ever seen.
Thank you.
And when I called on Facebook that I needed a mortician to interview, like literally a billion people gave me your name. So you must be good at your job.
No, I just have a lot of friends.
I guess the first thing that I'm going to want to know, that I think a lot of people are going to want to know, is what led you into becoming a mortician?
Well, my whole family is hunters, so I always tell people that my dad made me skin a lot of deer as a child.
Oh my God. But
that's not really true. That's not really true. I actually went to nursing school, and I started in the school, and I didn't really care for it. I was working at Anderson Hospital in Maryville.
You'd rather work with the dead people than the alive people?
Yes. Most of the time.
They don't talk back.
And so, yeah, I was going to school, and actually, I was taking a class on death and dying, and I had a girlfriend and that was in the class with me, and she's like, oh, we should just quit nursing school and go to mortuary school. I was like, yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
So no one else in your family does it.
Nope.
You're the first generation.
Yes.
And, you know, I think I took that same death and dying class because I remember having to take it. Now, do you remember, like, I guess it was in school, the first time you ever saw a dead body?
Well, I mean, other than having family and friends pass away.
Sure. I mean, as far as in a job sense, the first time that they said, you know, day one in mortuary school when they ripped back the sheet.
No, because when I was going to nursing school, I worked as a nurse's aide, and I had to deal with people dying all the time.
So that wasn't really a big shocker for you?
No, not at all.
Because for me, I would think that would be the first sign of, okay, can I handle this as a job? But yeah. I guess if you can be a nurse, you can, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when you're a nurse's aide, that's your job, to take care of them when they pass away. You have to clean them up. You have
sure.
to get them ready for the family to view. So,
right.
I mean, I worked at a nursing home and at the hospital, so I had
you dealt with that.
Tons of experience working with that.
Quite a bit. Now, as a mortician, what all does that job include? Are you actually collecting the bodies when they pass? Are you doing the embalming? Are you directing the funeral? What is your job description?
As a mortician, you can be two things.
Mm-hmm.
In the state of Illinois, you're required to be a licensed embalmer and a funeral director, which is considered a dual license.
Okay.
In the state of Missouri, you can be either or.
Okay.
So I am both.
I am
a licensed funeral director and embalmer, and I'm licensed in both states.
Right.
And the funeral home that I work at, I work midnights.
Oh my gosh, that's even creepier.
And what I do, my personal job is I pick people up, whether they die at home or a nursing home or a hospital. And so I pick them up from wherever they've passed and then bring them back to our mortuary, and I do all the embalming and then cosmetics.
Do you ever like stop and eat lunch, like, or, like on your way back to the funeral home? Are you ever like, hey, you know what, let's stop and get Denny's real quick, I'm hungry?
Well, no, I'm hungry, yes, but no, we do not do that. We take lunch breaks and leave the facility too.
Okay. Now, are you usually alone with the bodies, like in the car, or do you have somebody who helps you? Are you alone? Are you ever just is it typical for you to be alone with a dead body?
I am 99% alone with the dead body.
Oh,
if someone passes away at home, we take two people
to
make the removal, because you don't ever know if you're going to have steps or where they've passed away. So
Correct.
We always have to take two people on a home death. But if it's at a nursing home or a hospital, I go by myself. And then once I bring them back to the mortuary, I am in the basement with them by myself, taking care of them, embalming them.
Are you like listening to music, like talking on the phone?
I would probably talk on the phone with the Bluetooth, but we don't get reception in the basement. So
why is it always got to be the basement? Why is it always downstairs?
Well, that's where, I don't know. That's where most of them are.
That's terrifying.
Like the coldest, maybe?
No, that's because your upstairs is usually where you have your visitations.
Yeah.
Where you make your arrangements with the family. Okay. So that's just where there's space.
Do they still use toe tags? Because I heard you just write on the bodies now.
Oh my gosh, no, we do not write on the bodies.
You don't?
No.
So you use toe tags?
We used wristlets like you would get at the hospital.
Okay. So when they arrive,
armbands.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't mix them up?
No. As soon as someone is picked up from wherever they pass away, they are instantly given, you put an armband on them at the time you pick them up, before you ever leave the scene where they're at.
Wow. If that is not like, not to get too
and
deep,
it hasn't always been like this.
Well, if that's not like a full circle moment, because when you're born, the first thing they do is they put a bracelet on the baby that matches the mom, so that you know before that baby leaves. And then when you die, the same thing happens.
Right.
So not to get too like deep, but wow, that is really kind of a full circle moment there. Now, do you remember the first time you ever had to pick up a dead body by yourself?
I do.
And is that the story I think it is?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course, you're in training forever.
Right.
And I actually started in the mortuary business 3 years prior to going to school.
Okay.
I started at a local funeral home in my hometown, swinging doors, greeting people,
right,
whatever.
Right.
And then I went to work for a local crematory in St. Louis. And so after months and months of training, I was like 20 years old at the time.
Okay.
So that seems like forever ago.
Right.
But they sent me out to get my first deceased, and I was really confident because I did this.
Right.
And I wasn't scared because I'd been around dead bodies for years at this point.
Sure.
So they send me out to go to a nursing home to pick this gentleman up, and he was a normal sized person, so that was good. It wasn't hard.
Right. Not an obese person.
No, I felt great. I went into the nursing home. I even spoke to the family and brought the gentleman back, and I guess maybe like getting flustered and maybe probably being a little bit nervous being my first time. Mm-hmm. Whenever the cot that we place people on is just like an ambulance cot.
Okay.
So basic, same concepts, strap them down, yeah, whole thing.
Right.
So I guess in the process of picking him up, I didn't get the straps down tight enough.
Oh my God.
So once I put him in the van and I was headed back to the crematory I worked for, and I was, kind of still maybe a little bit jittery. And I went around a corner.
Don't tell me.
And the guy kind of like slid off of the cot. Because I guess I was just in a hurry and I just didn't get those straps down tight enough. And when he came off, he kind of made a, and I was like, oh my goodness. And I probably drove like 100 miles an hour back to the funeral home. And even though I wasn't really scared, it still like freaked me out.
I would have been out of the car on the side of the highway.
Somebody come get this.
I mean, I know what it's like to hear something shift in my trunk when I take a corner too hard. So I could not imagine a full body. I mean, that had to make a decent thud.
He didn't like completely like fall off. I mean, he just kind of slid off a little bit. So.
And that was where the kind of like the moaning comes in, because I've heard that once someone is deceased, they do still have some, gas and air left in their bodies. And so they do make noises.
Sometimes when you move them, sometimes they do groan, and it's just air expelling out of their lungs.
Yeah.
So
what does it sound like? Can you imitate it?
I mean, sometimes it's like a maybe a hard breath.
Yeah.
Like a real like deep breath coming out.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's gurgles in their stomachs.
Oh my God.
I mean, it just depends.
You have the weirdest job ever. Well, you answered. So we took a bunch of questions from Facebook. You just answered number one. Logan, you want to read number two from Sarah Davis?
Yeah, yeah. So is it true that the deceased hands in place, they glue the deceased hands in place and sew their lips shut still? Is that like, is that a real thing?
The sewing the lips, that's kind of like an, that's like a 1980, or that's like an 1800s kind of thing, right, I guess.
Yeah.
We do not, obviously, we do not sew their lips shut. Yeah. They'd have giant X's across their mouth like the cartoons. We do glue their lips shut.
Okay.
When we close their mouth.
Right.
The way that we keep their mouth shut is the same way if a person would break their jaw, how they would keep their jaw in place.
Okay.
We use the same instruments and the same tools to keep their mouth in place.
Yeah.
And then to keep the mouth closed, we glue it.
And what about the eyes?
We glue the eyes as well.
We glue the eyes as well. So me and my girlfriend, Melissa, had a pact in high school that if one of us died, we would make sure that the other one didn't have a double chin in the casket.
we can make that happen.
Do you guys always, obviously you try to make them look their best.
Sure.
Yes. I used to tell my friends, I'm like, if I have a double chin in my casket, I will haunt all of your asses.
Yeah. I tell them to suck it out of my butt and put it in my boobs. So we're good.
All right. So Amy Myra has a question that I actually wonder about because I want to be cremated as well. How good do you clean those things out between uses, and what are the odds I'm going to be chilling with little bits of someone else for eternity?
Okay.
So
well,
let's talk cremation.
Okay. So when a person is cremated, they're placed into a giant machine. It's called a retort.
Which is like a big oven.
Which is like a big giant pizza oven. Oh, it has a brick, or it has a concrete bottom.
Okay.
And when your body is cremated, it doesn't move in there.
No.
So the formation that we put the body in is the same formation it comes out like. So once you open the door.
So it's like an ash version of.
It's not ash. It's bone. It's bone fragment. But if you touch it, it would be like picking up a light bulb and dropping it on the ground. It would just shatter.
Okay.
It's that fragile.
Okay.
So, basically it's in perfect formation once you open up the lid after the cremation.
Now that is creepy. Because I figured it would just be in a big pile.
No.
So like whatever pose,
like some of it, like we'll say like a 100-year-old lady who has no bone density left.
Right.
Her stuff is going to basically turn to ash because there's nothing left.
Yeah.
It's so dense. Mm-hmm. So,
but you are cleaning them out in between. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
So they're like, because, you know, my dad and my husband's parents have all passed and they were all cremated.
Okay.
So that really is him in there. It's not like little chunks of other people, right?
I would say that they get 99.9% out. Of course, I cannot say that they get 100% right. Every single person out. That's impossible.
Yeah.
I mean, think about if you drop a bag of sand in your garage.
Yes.
And you sweep up as much as you can, there's still going to be particles on the ground.
But you guys do a really good job of getting it out.
Yes.
So, Logan, I'm going to make you ask Sonia's question.
Okay, so I have a question from Sonia Delaney, right?
Yep.
Is it true that men keep erections after death for a short period of time? Is that possible?
And do you have to tape them down to their leg?
Do you have to tape them
down?
We
do not tape them down to their leg. I'll just say that right now. When a person dies, all of the muscles in their body relax. So
except one.
No, that one relaxes too. No, everything relaxes. So, but if a person is going to be embalmed,
mm-hmm.
Now embalming, you are injecting fluid into your arteries.
So you are...
You have arteries and veins in every organ of your body.
And then I'm
even the main organ.
So, good morning, sunshine.
So sometimes, you know,
it gets pumped full.
Once the embalming process is started,
mm-hmm.
Sometimes different parts of the body will fill up.
And what do you do with that potty?
They go down. I mean, automatically. They do. But once you stop the pressure of that fluid pumping in there,
then...
I mean, it's just like... I mean, essentially, when you're embalming, you're making their heartbeat.
Okay.
Because... So it'd be the same... It would be the same concept.
Sure.
So when your heart stops beating and everything stops flowing, everything goes back to relax.
But you're not taping it down.
We're not taping it down.
That would probably be the worst job ever. You assign the new interns, the new mortuary interns to do that. Your job is to tape the erections to their leg. Thank you.
Yeah.
My buddy Sean O'Dell loves the show 6 Feet Under. Do you watch 6 Feet Under? Because
I used to watch 6 Feet Under when it was on, yes.
So I've never seen the show, but he wants to know, is it anything like real life?
Besides like all their drama crap, yes. I mean, like the actual mortuary part that they showed was pretty realistic. I mean, people don't pop up and talk to me while I'm embalming, like my ghost from embalming past or anything. But I mean, a lot of their stuff was pretty realistic.
I know a lot of times when they do a show or a movie like that, they do try to make it as realistic as possible and try mm-hmm. to follow. And they'll even hire, you know, someone from, you know, a mortuary to help them with that kind of thing. So that's good. So fans of the show, 6 Feet Under, it's good to know that a lot of that stuff, at least the technical side of it,
yeah,
is legit. Logan, you got another question?
Yeah. Okay. So I know when I was a kid, it was considered funny when your older sister would terrorize you with dead cicadas and other dead things that they find. I can't imagine, but do you guys ever play any jokes on each other with dead people? Because
you work with, like, how many people do you work with?
At the establishment that I work with now, there are probably 60 people full time and part time.
So there's a lot of you.
Yeah, but I work midnight, so I don't see anybody. I mean, I'm alone.
Sure. Yeah.
But, I mean...
Is there any jokesters there?
Of course, I work sometimes during the day, and sometimes I work with people. I wouldn't say there's any jokesters where I work now, but there were other people that I worked with that...
And what did they
do? Did silly things.
Like what?
We're just too busy where I am right now to joke. the place that I did used to work at, a crematory... before you place a person into the cremation machine,
uh-huh.
excuse me, you have to check their toe tag to make sure, of course, you're putting in the right
person.
Every person is assigned a number, so you know their name matches their number, and so forth and so forth. So, I had went to deliver some cremains to another funeral home, and then when I got back, I was going to start another cremation of someone else.
Mm-hmm.
I had that person already laying on a table, ready to go into the retort. And, you know, I thought I'd just come in, shove it in, you know, check the name tag, shove it in, and go about my business.
Right.
Well, as I started to do that, the guys that I worked with had taken my deceased and placed them in the other room, and they laid in a container exactly like the person was in, with a sheet over top of them. And when I went to check the toe tag, they jumped up and scared the bejeebas out of me. So
wait, so they were not in the oven part, right?
They they were on a, like, you have to put them on like a motorized table that slides them into the retort first. And so I just had the person on the table.
And it was one of your friends underneath. And then they jumped up and scared the crap out of you.
Yes. Yes.
That is horrifying.
It, you know, it makes you want to quit.
I would never come back to work. Never come back to work. Kelly, you have been awesome. You've answered a lot of cool questions for us. I have a couple more for you.
Okay.
Number one, I guess, working in this job, do you believe in ghosts or do you believe in spirits? And has your profession led to that belief?
I don't really believe in ghosts. I've never really believed in ghosts, so.
That's never been an issue with you.
It's never been an issue.
Because I was scared some were going to follow you here. like, what if the ghosties come with her?
No, I mean, I've never experienced, like, you know, people doing crazy things anything like that.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't think they would ever haunt me anyway, because I take care of them.
You do. You do.
So.
You got nothing to be scared about.
Yeah, I mean, probably ex-boyfriends will haunt me, but, I mean, you know, other than that, I'm good.
Well, I guess that kind of leads to my last question, is that do you think that this job has kind of prepared you for your own mortality? Some people, if you ask them what their biggest fear is, it's death. So do you think that this job has kind of numbed you to that a little bit?
Yeah, you become numb to a lot of things in this business.
Yeah.
So,
And so death is not one of those things that you know... that racks your brain in fear on a daily basis?
No. I don't ever really think about my own death.
That's amazing.
I don't go to funerals.
You don't go to funerals?
No. I mean, you have to be extremely close to me. You have to be like a family member or a very personal friend for me to go to the funeral. Otherwise, I send condolences.
Well, listen, because if you're a mechanic, the last thing you want to do when you get home is work on your car.
Right.
And so for me as a photographer, the last thing I want to do when I get home is take pictures of my kids. I never thought about that from a funeral home's perspective.
Yeah, no, I don't go to funerals.
Yeah.
That is pretty funny.
Yeah.
Well, I am so glad that you came in today. Thank you so much. And I know that you've got to get back to work. And you do a good job. And you did a great interview.
Thanks.
And I know that you know, one of the things with this interview is that you wanted to make sure that we were, you know, very respectful and didn't ask anything inappropriate, because you care about the people you work for.
Absolutely.
You know, even though they're dead, they're your clients.
Right. And unfortunately, I've had to take care of a lot of friends and family members. And
wow.
You know, I've been put in that situation. And,
do you
it's
know,
still someone's loved one.
It is. Even if you don't know them, it's still somebody's loved one. So.
Right.
Well, thank you, Kelly, so much. Thank
you
for coming on the Kelly Mano Show. Logan, were you excited to stick around and ask creepy questions?
I was. This was such an opportunity. I never thought I would get this opportunity, actually.
Awesome. All right. Well, you are listening to the Kelly Mano Radio Show. Thank you, Kelly, for stopping by.
Thank you.
We'll be right back in just a minute.
The Kelly Mano Show.
It is the Kelly Mano Radio Show. Thank you so much for listening today. Thank you, Clockwork, for coming in. Thank you, Kelly, the lovely mortician we had in. We've got one more sponsor I want to thank. I don't know if you can hear what I'm drinking here. I know that it sounds like soda. It's not soda. It's actually my morning Spark. I don't know if you guys have heard about Spark. It's made by Advocare. My Advocare lady, or I guess you would prefer me call her an independent distributor, is Kim Miller. I was introduced to Kim a couple years ago. And she has been selling Advocare. She was drinking over 88 ounces of soda a day 2 years ago when someone shared Spark with her.
And she has been soda-free for 2 years now. AdvoCare makes all kinds of great products. I'm also a big fan of their protein shakes. I share them with Rocky after he does his workouts, after he does his hockey. Kim has really transformed herself into kind of a fitness expert. She's down 25 pounds in 6 pant sizes, and a lot of that is due to AdvoCare. So if you want to get in touch with Kim, you can check her out at www.fit-champs.com. Again, that's fit-champs.com. And as always, you can go to kellymano.com. I will have a link to her website where you can find out where you can substitute your soda addiction for Spark. Spark has 21 vitamins, minerals, and nutrients, and it is sugar-free. If you are not a coffee drinker like me, Spark will get you going every single morning. I absolutely love it. So get in touch with Kim if you want to learn more about AdvoCare. And yeah, that's it for the Kelly Mano Show today. If you like the show, share the show. That's how people get to hear it. If you want to get in touch with me, you can email me, heykelly@kellymano.com. Share the website, www.kellymano.com. How are we going to follow up a mortician next week? How about with a gynecologist? Yes, that's right. Only Kelly Mano can talk her own gynecologist into coming to her living room. I'll be hitting you guys up on Facebook later this week for some fun questions for her. I hope you guys have a fabulous week and you enjoyed the Kelly Mano Show. Have a good day. Troops in sections of 40, so clap your hands and hold your shorty. I'm naughty. Here we go now. Kelly Mano Show.